coming up on Patriots This Week. Bullet
fires to the right, intercepted in the end zone.
Dodge.
Intercepted by Devin McCourty.
Yeah, that was one of those right place, right time moments right there.
Coming off a bye week, the Patriots had a hard time saying goodbye to the Bills.
Lost right to the end, far from perfect.
Although grateful for the win, the quarterback seemed baffled by the performance.
It's frustrating when we don't play as well as we're capable of.
Now it's an old foe with a new look.
You know, he seems to play with maturity beyond his years. You know, you don't get the feel that he's a rookie out there.
This Sunday, luck won't be on the New England sideline. Patriots This Week begins right now.
It may have been a win to grade your hair, made you bite through your bottom lip, and also damage your stomach lining, but bottom line, the Patriots, coached by Bill Belichick, are now 9-3 after the bye. That's the record after byes. Hello again, everyone, and welcome to Patriots This Week. I'm Scott Zolak, and joining me each and every week during the football season, former linebacker Matt Chatham. Matt, good to see you.
Nice to be here.
The wild and wiggy one, Jermaine Wiggins, former tight end Jermaine Wiggins. And guys, they win the one. They win it 37-31. And Wiggy, you said it last week, trap game.
When you think of a trap game, it's a team that you know, you're coming off a bye. You feel like we have plenty of time to prepare. Last time you played them, you beat them up pretty good. And then you come out and play the game, and it doesn't go according to plan, you know. The game comes down to a last second play where they have an opportunity to win the game. So I think they let it kind of catch them a little bit. And I remember you saying, you know, Bill Belichick wouldn't allow that. And obviously he didn't allow them to get caught up in it. But, you know, throughout that game I thought, are they going to be able to pull away? And then at the end of the game I was a little nervous.
Bottom line, they scored 37 points. Mm-hmm. Matt, you're a former defensive guy. Top to bottom, run defense, pass defense, mixing it up, blitz, no blitz. Was it atrocious? Was it as bad as it looked?
Well, I thought there were some new issues that came in this week. It was not a good overall performance, although there's a caveat. At the end of the day, they get the turnovers. It's only two.
I love caviar.
That is pretty caviar, good, isn't it?
No. Go ahead. What's the caveat?
Well, I mean, they got turnovers. And we're at this point where this looks a little bit like some of those frustrating wins from last November. This is the first time this season we've seen some edge integrity problems. And it was also the first time where we've seen the screen game account for so many yards. So there were some new issues, but actually addressed and didn't have some of the deep field stuff as we've seen in past weeks. So kind of a mixed bag.
Do you give the two backs any credit? Because Spiller and Jackson were healthy this time. They weren't healthy last time up in Buffalo. They were pretty good in space, making guys miss.
It's a group effort. So if you're going to have a back like that, and they do three-step passing, we know that. The ball's coming out anyway, and you're a defensive end. You have to hammer the back. You have to keep him from getting out. I mean, it's kind of just not selling out your buddy. So if you're going to let, you know, C.J. Spiller free release to Spikes or to Mayo, to Hightower, whoever it is, that's an unfair advantage for really any back in the league. There aren't a lot of guys out there across the league that are going to be able to handle that. So it's one of those situations where, as an end, a young end, you kind of have to understand. It's not selfishness per se, but you do have to understand sort of the team concept. You're not going to get a sack on a three-step pass. Nobody gets sacked on three-step passes. Play team defense, beat the back up, and make sure that your buddies behind you are covered.
All right, some of us do radio. At least we all do radio around here. Some of us are on highly rated shows. Some of us aren't.
Yeah, but, six shows, pretty highly rated.
But you hear the cries, and you guys do post-game, pre-game. You hear the cries for why don't they blitz more?
It doesn't make any sense against Buffalo. They three-step pass and six-man protect. So if you bring a fifth guy in three-step, you actually don't need the fifth guy. The ball's coming out anyway. Mm-hmm. So it just isn't applicable to this game. I think a three-step passing team, what you need to do is you need to be disruptive because the ball's going to come out early. So the last thing you want is to be on pattern. And I think that was more the error than a fact of bringing people. Usually the situation, the way blitzing's done from a defensive coordinator standpoint, is you have down and distance tendencies. There's times where it makes sense to do it. There's also personnel groupings where you know, hey, and this amount of percentage of plays, when they come out of this personnel group, they use six or seven man protection like 70% of the time. So the last thing you do is come out and throw your head against the wall. A fifth guy against a seven man protection does nothing more than a four man. What I would advocate for is not so much blitzing per se, but it's the movement, it's the confusion, it's you overloading a side. You can still send four to a side and overload and confuse.
Yep.
The problem you get into, and the reason this is important, is because they had some issues with the run game. They had to be more vanilla on first down. So when you have a four man line and they were forced to sub. They were in sub 80% of this game.
Sub is really, it's three wide, and you got nickel defense out there. You got extra DBs.
But just basic four-man line stuff. And what they're really good at and they showed it actually through the first quarter and a half as pick games. You know, using you stunts and me stunts and moving guys around. But you can't do that on first down if there's a threat of run. When you're giving up yards on first down, you have to play vanilla. So if they can take away the run, then it gives them the ability to sort of have that leeway. If you don't, blitzing isn't the answer. It's way down the list.
I think one of the most underrated non-talk stories about this team, and I know we kill this defense and, you know, critics like to jump on them, the forcing of turnovers, they're plus 16. They're opportunistic. These aren't freakish turnovers. Yeah. They're done with hits. Yep. They're done with strip sacks. They're done with intent. It's legit interceptions.
I think there's two things that the Patriots can hang their hat on defensively, and that's being able to stop the run. They've done a good job of that, and the turnovers. And I think that's the one thing you look at. And these turnovers, like you said, they're very opportunistic. They're able to get the ball out in critical situations when they need to get the ball out. You know, down on the one-yard line, they're able to force fumbles. They're able to have strip sacks for turnovers, and now which leads to the Patriots offensively being able to score touchdowns.
Yeah. But with Aqib Talib now in the mix, mm-hmm. You know, you watch Gregory, and Chung's going to be coming back here soon. Do you leave McCourty at safety, or do you put him at corner? And
I prefer him better at safety.
I leave him at safety.
But if you leave him at safety, that means now you have to take somebody off the field, and that's either going to be Chung or Gregory, two guys that have played safety throughout their career. So if I'm going to do anything, I want McCourty on the field. I'll move McCourty back to corner, and I'll leave Chung and Gregory at safety.
Put McCourty at corner?
I would argue that as much as McCourty is out of position, but doing a decent job at safety, so is Gregory playing strong safety, which essentially they played last week for the first time with a new group of secondary again. I mean, it's different every week for 4 weeks. But they were playing with two free safeties. So asking Gregory to be the down in the box guy, rolling down in cover threes and stuff like that, where he's the down safety, that's not his strengths anymore, and it is McCourty's to be the deep
part of
the field.
They should put Tavon Wilson in.
Yeah. Well, I watched Tavon, he struggled a little bit. There was
two rookies out there.
Yeah, he struggled a little bit in pass coverage, you know. And I think, you know, Matt brings up a great point, is that everybody thinks, oh, safety. Well, there's two different safety positions. There's a strong safety and a free safety. And a strong safety kind of plays up by the line of scrimmage. It's more of a tackling safety. And your free safety is kind of your center fielder.
You watch Gronkowski. Without Hernandez there, what Buffalo do defensively to take him out? I guess, you know, it was only targeted four times at three catches.
Yeah, you know what? I liked what Buffalo did. Something you could almost use on the flip side is what I would like to see New England do a little bit more. And they would actually commit a defensive end to bang him, or a guy early at the line, which is enough, even if Tom had wanted to go that route, to look away. And it's something that you actually saw later in the game when you see one of Gronk's really big catches, the one that Tom kind of floated over there in front of their bench, a really, really pretty throw where he fitted in. It was a really great example of how not to do it, where you have Mario Williams standing right over Gronk with an opportunity to reroute him. And Tom's in the gun. We know the ball's coming out quickly. You know, he doesn't have a back, so it's not going to be play action. And you know, Mari rushes. You're not going to get a sack there. If you hit Gronk, maybe Gronk doesn't become a part of that.
Slow him
exactly.
Down.
And that's the thing that happens really on both sides of the thing. This is not like a Patriots thing. This is a football thing. It's sort of a selfish sort of mentality. And when people commit to hitting Gronk early, well, again, this team has a cupboard full of other places to go with the ball. But I think that would explain as much. They tried to bang him early. It'd be interesting this week how they try to handle him. You know, obviously he had his biggest game of the year last time.
But as a tight end, that is the most frustrating thing when a team jams you with a defensive end. Okay.
Tebow mania is hitting New York, but not because of what you think. We'll get into that next in Rants and Raves. That's next on Patriots This Week.
Patriots This Week is brought to you by Putnam, celebrating 75 years of service to financial advisors, their clients, and institutions worldwide. By Pepsi, the official soft drink of the New England Patriots. And by Waste Management. Remodeling or just have clutter to get rid of? Waste Management's new Bagster, Dumpster in a Bag, can take it on. Visit thebagster.com for more info.
Vince Wilfork is this week's Putnam Player Spotlight. The 9-year veteran out of Miami made a major impact early in the game against the Bills. The co-captain strip sack of Ryan Fitzpatrick at the 13-yard line set up a Stephen Ridley 1-yard touchdown run. And did you know that the hulking lineman still owns the Florida State High School record of 68 feet in the shot put? This Player Spotlight is brought to you by Putnam Investments, pursuing performance excellence for 75 years.
Welcome back to Patriots This Week. Time now for Rants and Raves. And the New York Daily News had a story this week regarding Tim Tebow. Teammates documented, 12 at least, and I'm going to read this directly. Talking about a defensive starter calling Tim Tebow, quote, unquote, terrible. We have Greg, and we have another athlete, said one of their offensive linemen. Clausen, have you ever heard of such a contempt for a player who plays backup? I mean, Wiggy, they brought this guy in the offseason. Now, Rex Ryan, at a press conference last week, said he's one of the best personal protectors on punts that he's ever seen. And their punter has never had a better year kicking net punting. Matt, special teams guy. And what's going on? Is this splintering the locker room?
If every day I saw you, Zoe, I asked you, what do you think of that Wiggy guy? What do you think of that Wiggy? Eventually, at some point after being asked that 90 days in a row, you'd be like, you know, I'm just sick of this.
Yep. ESPN even you forces know, you to talk Tebow if you watch the morning shows.
Well, and I think that's part of the problem. I mean, obviously, if on the flip side, if you're Tim Tebow, he's not weighing in on how the linebackers are playing or how the safeties are playing. But the problem is you sit in a locker room like that. I've been in that locker room. It's not, you know, the New York media is 10 times here. And this is, you know, it is its own animal. But you have to have self-control, and you have to be able to understand they're looking for a headline. They're looking for a blurb. You know, they're not your, you know, it's not your buddy. And they're looking for that one guy that'll break from the pack and go and just say something crazy. You can't get into critiquing your teammates. I can't talk about the tight end group. You can't talk about the linebacker group.
Mark Sanchez has had five games this year where he's completed less than 50% of his passes. Mm-hmm. Their overall record is 3-6. If they didn't make the change by now, it's not going to be made. They got the kid Greg McElroy from Alabama, who I think could go in and manage a game better than Tim Tebow could.
Yeah, and we don't know that. That's the problem. So by virtue of this bringing in the sort of Tebow drama and introducing it into your family, you bring this upon yourself, especially when, you know, they did give Sanchez a new contract, so there was sort of a vote of confidence.
$20 million
there.
Guaranteed, that reworking of the contract.
Yeah, but I mean, you also handcuff yourself a bit, because in the event that something doesn't go right with him, you don't have that other kid, the McElroy kid, to sort of have the conversation with. You know,
this is their one acquisition in the offseason.
And see, the problem I think that they have is they went out and they traded for Tim Tebow. Then they bring him in here and they say, okay, we're going to use him in a variety of ways. But when you look at Tim Tebow and you say, okay, what is he good? You know, what can he do well? You think, and I thought personally, he'd be a guy that came in and played 15, 20 plays a game, wildcat, do some different things, third and short. But when you bring him in and now he only plays two snaps a game, or if you average it that way, I heard you kind of breaking it down.
Well, he's got 132 net yards through nine games. Yeah. Do the math. It comes out to about 15 yards per game, seven snaps per game. He averages out to 2.14 per snap he gets for the secret weapon.
And see, I think that becomes the bigger issue they have. Yeah. They brought this guy in, and then he only plays seven plays a game. So it's almost like, why did you even trade for a guy that's going to play seven plays?
We could sit here and do 30 minutes on Tim Tebow 500 times and still not have enough time to talk about it. We got to wrap this up, because coming up next, we got to talk about the team that's coming to Foxborough that forced this game to get flexed to be the 425 game. That's right. Colts are coming to town. We get into it next on Patriots This Week. It's going to be interesting to see where Aqib Talib plays and who he plays against. And I'm telling you, if he does play and how much he plays on Sunday, Reggie Wayne, number 87, got to find out where he is. Let's go to the tape. Here's Wayne in a slot. I think this is an illegal play. It's a pick play. Watch it right here. Watch the outside guy come in, picks the defender, puts the hands up. That's an easy throw. Actually, a tough throw and a really great catch by Reggie Wayne. He's the best receiver they have. And here you go. End of the first half. This can't happen. You can't allow this guy to run down the middle of the seam over top of linebackers. I'm telling you, Andrew Luck, if he's given a chance, can make the throw. And this is giving the Packers some of their own medicine. Going vertical here. That's the Greg Jennings route. Luck can make all the throws to the left, to the right. And that's why if Aqib Talib plays, put him on Reggie Wayne all day long. For the 13th time since 2003, the Patriots Colts are going to play again. But one big change, no Peyton Manning. Out goes Peyton Manning, in comes Andrew Luck. And let's face it, guys, he's the number one overall pick in the draft. This kid's pretty good. I think he's coming in here with a 6-3 record, just a little bit inflated. Wiggy, you've seen the kid play. Mm-hmm. They keep things tight for him. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, they simplify things for him. If you watch them play, and I've said this before, when you look at what the Colts do to help Andrew Luck, they do a lot of motion. And when you motion, what does that do for a quarterback?
It's a man-to-man.
It defies coverage. Right. And so they make it very simple for this guy.
Motion also keeps the defensive backs off and allows the guy to get a free release. It's not all just for recognizing coverage.
No, it's not. But it helps out a quarterback to recognize coverages. And if you look at his numbers, I mean, they're not great. He's like around 50% completion.
57.5. He's passed for 2,631 yards. 10 touchdowns, 9 interceptions.
Yep, 9 interceptions.
His quarterback rating is 79.1.
I think he's a really good young player. I think he actually reminds me, if you were to take Joe Flacco and give Joe Flacco sort of a like a 10% notch in athleticism. Mm-hmm. This guy's a little bit of move the pocket. I think as the Patriots play them, he's a guy you need to be really aware of once they cross into the high red. He scrambles for some stuff. Mm-hmm. They'll do some move the pocket boot. He scored a couple running touchdowns, a handful of them. He's a good player in that way. He throws a nice strong ball. He looks the part. He does all those things. I think he also throws a lot of balls that should have been picked by now. We mentioned that he has 9 picks in this last game against Jacksonville, which I don't think we would argue are world beaters. He had the one interception. He had one that was picked off that was called back. He had another one that went for a 44-yard reception that should have been picked. So, I mean, it could have been a 3-pick game that really would have changed the face of that. I think he's living dangerously. I think everyone sees the talent and sees that it's obvious. And I think the effect he's had is sort of a calming effect on that team is pretty evident.
But let me ask you a question.
Well.
Is the talent based on because he can make all the throws and he has a strong arm? This whole thing of, well, look how he reads coverage and look how he does this, that, and the other as far as pocket presence. I mean, I think they're more looked on because he can make all the throws.
I think he makes the throws, but I think one of his number one assets is the way he moves in the pocket and keeps his eyes downfield and does read coverage as well.
He doesn't get fixated on the rush. That's one of the impressive things about him.
He does a really good job of manhandling what goes on in front of him and not being flushed and still keeping the ball downfield. He's a good player. He's a heck of a talent, but you're right. You know, once you flip on the tape, you know, kind of put the ESPN side of it aside and see it's a good young player, but this is a guy who's going to throw to you, and when he does, you need to catch it.
Cam Newton had a good year last year. That's all I'm going to say.
Reggie Wayne is still there. Reggie Wayne has kind of taken over that Hines Ward role. They do a lot of things Pittsburgh does where they'll move Hines Ward around short motion, spot routes, and they get the ball out of his hand quick, and I think that helps him.
Yeah, and like I said, you'll see that this is something that we haven't seen the Colts do, you know, in a long time. They come out, they motion. We're used to seeing Colts line up in a basic formation, either 2x2 or 3x1. And now you come out, you see him, Reggie Wayne's doing some things that we've never seen Reggie do as far as motion. But he's having a career year. He's having one of his best years. And I think that helps when you have a guy, when you're a young guy like Luck, and you come in and you have a player like Reggie Wayne that is somebody that you can count on, is very consistent. I think that helps your confidence.
They play a little bit of a defense like the Ravens do, meaning they'll move people around, they'll blitz you. What have you seen from them, Matt, that makes them active up front? They have some pretty good safeties.
Whenever you make sort of a scheme change, you're really talking more about the front. What goes on with the 7 or 8 in front, the coverage schemes are generally the same. So that doesn't change much. And when we're attacking them through the air, which is generally what the Patriots are going to do, pass to create space in the running game, the front change doesn't make a whole lot of difference. So if you look back to last year's game, remember, this is one of the games where Rob Gronkowski absolutely torched him. I mean, he was out there catching fair catches because Indianapolis still does a lot of this spot dropping. They drop to space, and then they turn, and they route read and try to make plays. And it kind of goes back to the conversation earlier. There's not a lot of reroute. They let guys advance on them into the secondary. So if they do what they did last year with Gronk, he's going to have 200 yards receiving.
All right,
guys, good stuff on the Colts. Let's see if we can predict the future, because our predictions are next when Patriots This Week continues.
Patriots This Week is brought to you by Putnam Investments. Putnam celebrates 75 years of pursuing performance excellence. Putnam is a proud partner of the New England Patriots. By Bose, the official sound of the Patriots. And by Ace Ticket, the official fan travel partner of the Patriots. For information, call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com.
Time now for the Fantasy Lowdown, and we kick it off with a surefire starter, Steve Smith of Carolina. The Panthers face the lowest-rated pass defense, Tampa Bay, and while it's been a shaky stretch for Carolina's offense, this week won't be shaky for Smith. For Phillip Rivers, shaky. He should be on your bench against the Broncos. He had a season-high 4 picks back in Week 6. A sleeper for this Sunday, try Mark Ingram, whose stock is on the rise for the Saints. They'll be running aplenty against the Raiders. And that's the Fantasy Lowdown, brought to you by Verizon, the official wireless and telecommunications provider for the Patriots.
Patriots are 0-1 against rookie quarterbacks so far this year. That's right. Remember my guy, Russell Wilson. I'm just kidding. Yeah, Russell Wilson beat him. All right, Andrew Luck's coming to town. Matt, what do you like? Who do you like in this game and why?
Well, I like the Patriots. I think this is going to have a little bit of a similar feel to earlier against the Broncos. My score is going to be 31-21.
Aha.
It's that small ball defense. I have a good feeling that the Patriots are going to bounce back with a little better defensive effort, and they're going to get that 30 points.
Wiggy.
You know what? I'm going with the Patriots. 31-17. I like Andrew Luck. I'm not going to put him in the Hall of Fame just yet. I like the Patriots. 31-17.
I like the Patriots also. I like them 38-20 in this game. And I'm telling you, you're going to be able to run the football. You're going to get more of that. Please, they scored 37 points last week, and they weren't very sharp. Look for them to come back, bounce back big, 38-20. That's going to do it for this week's edition of Patriots This Week. For Matt Chatham, for Jermaine Wiggins, I'm Scott Zolak. Thanks for watching. See you next time on Patriots This Week.